We are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom, concluding this part of the tangent that we've been on. Remember, we got into this discussion about doing Melila with the kernels of grain only because we wanted to talk about whether you can separate Truma on Yom Tov. And so we brought this case of doing Melila on Yom Tov, and how are you going to do Melila if you have to separate Truma, and do you really have to separate Truma, and what if you went out of order, and so on and so forth. But now we come back to this tangent of Melila and ask, five lines up from the bottom, Ketzad Molel. So how do you do this Melila on Yom Tov that we're talking about, where, as Rashi notes, you have to do a Shinui? Right? In order to understand the Gemara that's coming up, you need to know two things. One, Melila, and the problem of Melila is dash, you are threshing, you're breaking up the kernel, so you have to do it with a shinui. The other item is Minapeach, which I noted last week or the week before, Minapeach, or it could be Minape, according to some, is some kind of an act of either blowing on it or shifting it in such a way that you're going to separate out the stuff that you want. And the concern is actually not a borer concern. The concern is the appearance of preparing for tomorrow. And so we require that you do it in an unusual way. And also, well, you'll see what we require. But those are the dual issues. So the first one is, how do you do Melila? So Abaye Mishmed Rabbi Yosef Amar Chada Achada. Abaye, quoting Rabbi Yosef, says you do one thumb pressing on one finger. That's what you do. I said that you have to do a shinui because of dash, but Rashi says you have to do the shinui because of uvda dechol, because it looks like your weekday activity. That's actually what Rashi says.
So it's less of level than tash in some ways.
Yeah, uvda dechol is a derabanan.
Right.
But either way, what is your shinui? So it's chada achada, one thumb pressing on one finger, and you crush the kernel between them. That's one approach. Rav Avya mishmed Rav Yosef amar chada atarti. Rav Avya quotes Rav Yosef saying, no, one thumb, two fingers. And Rav amar kevin de mishani afilu chada kulunami. Rav says you're already doing a shinui because you're using your fingertips instead of using your whole hand. That's good enough. So use as many fingers as you like. It doesn't make a difference. The fact that you're doing this with your fingertip and your thumb is already a shinui. Then they go into Menapeach. Ketzad Menapeach, Amar Vada Barava, Amar Rav, Menapeach Mikishrei Etzbaosav Ulamala. What you do is, you do it from the knuckles and downward, meaning on the part of your hand that is the finger, not on the palm of your hand. So you're shifting this stuff around on the on your fingers.
And why isn't it more rare?
Why isn't it a bow wear?
I think
they're actually already separate. It's just a matter of blowing it or shifting it in some way. It's not a bow wear act. So the
it's really choking, isn't it?
This is just shifting.
It's like grinding. If you put it between your thumb and your finger.
Right, so it's dash, not grinding. The reason it's not grinding is because grinding would require that you take something that's a solid entity and you break it up into parts that were never separate. What you're doing is dash because you're taking units that are physically separate, they're just attached, and you're separating them. That's the difference between dash and tochin. So he says you have to do this on your fingers. And they laughed at this idea in Israel. They said, Kevin de Mishani, afilu b'kula yadanami. They say, you're already doing a shinui because you're doing small quantities. So therefore, you can use any part of your hand you like. Rabbi Elazar says, you're right. You use one hand, and even with your full force, you don't have to use like just the fingertips or something like that. It's okay. At the end of the day, you already have a shinui. I didn't plan to go into a big discussion about menapa and menapeach, because there's so much more that we have to see here. It's just a wrap-up of the earlier piece. We now move into a new discussion. And this discussion is about grinding spices and salt on Yom Tov. Okay, the issue of grinding is indeed the issue of Tochin. And so I need to alter in some way the way that I'm going to grind up the spices and the salt on Yom Tov. So we're going to see three different grades of shinui options.
Why does that not still make it grinding?
Oh, I thought you were asking a different question. The answer is it is still an act of grinding, but because it's in an unusual way, that, so to speak, reduces the charge, and therefore may end up being mutter on Yom Tov. But what's the question you should be asking, besides that question? There's another question you should be asking.
The chametz,
right. Why is this a problem at all? So that's what I want to spend the bulk of the time on, but first we'll see the Mishnah with it.
In other words, a few weeks ago you had the four malachas, and
right.
Not those four malachas. I mean, you have difference of opinions on it.
Correct.
One opinion is it's...
Right, but one of the points that we had made was that if it's a malacha that's involved in the production of food, then generally we assume that it is mutter under Ochel Nefesh. In other words, if it's a food-specific malacha, as opposed to some other malacha which normally is not involved in preparing food, but I find some way to connect it, if it's a malacha that is what you do in order to prepare a meal... Generally speaking, it will be permitted under Ochel Nefesh. We had Mevashel, Ochel, and we had the Havara discussion and the Hutzah discussion. Correct. So there are three different levels of shinui that you need to know going into this. Normally, the way they would grind up spices is the old-fashioned pharmacist's mortar and pestle. That was how they did it. So the normal way to do it, it's really two levels of shinui, I suppose. The normal way to do it is that you had a stone mortar, and a stone pestle, and you ground them up that way. The mortar is the bowl, the pestle is the thing you hit it with, I think. So there's a small shinui, and then there's a big shinui. Small shinui would be to use a wooden mortar instead of a stone mortar. A big shinui would be not to use the regular mortar at all, but to take a jug and to take a spoon and crush it with the end of a spoon. And remember that, in general, one of the criteria for shinui is potentially that it will, not just that you're doing it in a different way, but your process and your product are not as high quality. And so I guess by doing it in the jug with a spoon, you're not going to have the same kind of efficiency to the grinding. The product will not be as finely ground. That's my working theory for this.
The other might be that make sure you're not going to make extra and then... You're making something on Yom Tov for Chol.
That's an interesting possibility. That's actually going to come up as part of the Ochel Nefesh discussion, so hold that thought. The Mishnah says, Beishamai omrim tavlin nidochen b'madoch shel eitz, v'hamelach b'pach u'be'etz ha'parur. Beishamai says, spices may be crushed, or pounded, is really the proper term, in a wood mortar, v'hamelach and salt bepach ube'etz haparur with a jug and a spoon. The etz haparur, Rashi says, is kaf gedola. It's a big spoon. So in other words, Beis Shammai says you need a small shinui to be allowed to do spices and a large shinui to be allowed to do salt. Ube'etz hil omrim tavlin nidochin kedarkan b'madoch shal even. And Beis Hillel disagrees and he says you can do spices normally. No shinui required at all. V'hamelach b'madoch shaleitz, and a small shinui for the salt. The salt should be in the wood mortar. That's the way Beis Hillel says it. So, clearly there is some level of need for a shinui on something, right? Beis Hillel says you need the shinui for the salt. Beis Shammai says you need the shinui for the salt and the spices. So the question is, one question you have to ask is, why would I distinguish between the salt and the spices? That's one point. So let's see that quickly in the Gemara, and then we'll start talking about this Ochel Nefesh discussion. The Gemara says, "Dekulei Alma, everybody agrees. Dekulei Alma, mihas melach baya shinui. Everybody at least agrees that salt requires a shinui. My time, why should salt require a shinui? What's the issue? Rav Huna v'Rav Chisda. So Rav Huna and Rav Chisda have a machlokas. Chad Omar." Kol hakederos kulan srichos melach, vein kol hakederos srichos tavlin. He says, look, everything you're going to cook is going to require salt. Right? Everything you cook, you should be putting salt in there. And the other one says, this is how they had excellent heart condition. The other one, but as opposed to spices, is not everything needs a spice. So what's his point by saying that everything requires salt?
You should have known to do it before you have to.
Right. So Rashi says you should have known. You knew you were going to need salt, and therefore, even Beis Hillel says you didn't have to do it with a shinoi, because you should have done it before.
But what if you ran out? I mean, you should have prepared, but...
Right, so that's going to come up in our discussion also about Ochel Nefesh, so hold that question as well. V'chad Amar, and the other one says, Kol ha-tavlin mefigin ta'aman. All spices lose their taste. If you ground it up yesterday, the next day, it already doesn't taste as strong. U'melach ena mefiga ta'ama, but salt does not. So therefore, salt could have been done yesterday. It wouldn't have lost its strength. Spices, you didn't have the option of doing yesterday. So both of them are giving reasons why the salt should have been done the day before. Either because I knew I was going to need it, or because I wouldn't have lost anything by doing it. So the Gemara asks, "My Beinayu, what's the difference between these two explanations? Why do I need two explanations?" Ika Beinayu, there is a difference between them. Diyada mai kedera boi levashulei, if you knew what you were going to make. And therefore you knew you were going to need spices. So according to the first explanation, you should have done it yesterday. If you're going to do it on Yantif, you need a shinoi. That's one difference. Inami, and by the way, Howie's thing would just be the flip side of that. What if it's salt, but you ran out? Inami, alternatively, bimorika. If we're talking about morika, morika is saffron. The saffron in those days was considered to be the ideal of spices, and even today, actually, saffron is considered. I think it's as far as I understand it by weight, it's one of the most expensive products in the world.
Yeah.
The reason is there was some article I saw online a few weeks ago. They hand pick it, and they have to go by hand to take the powder out of each flower. So it's just very, very labor intensive.
One finger, one thumb, or one and two thumbs.
Right. So you have to ask them. I think they do it in Iran. So I wish you luck. But he says morika, this saffron, would be another difference. And the reason it would be different is because it doesn't lose its taste. If you were to grind it up before yantif, it would retain its taste. So that will be another difference. A spice which doesn't lose its taste. Will we treat it like salt, or will we treat it like regular spices? If your argument is, you didn't know you were going to need it, so I didn't know I was going to need saffron, I didn't know what I was going to make. But if your argument is that you couldn't have done it yesterday because it would have lost its taste, that won't apply when you're dealing with saffron. Okay. So that's just a little bit of the Gemara on it. But now let's get into this discussion of why tochein is not permitted under ochel nefesh. So on this, I'm going to bring three approaches. The first approach is based on the Yerushalmi and Beitza. And it's an idea that we've actually seen before. I think we discussed it when we talked about which malachos are permitted under ochel nefesh. Source Aleph. This is from the Yerushalmi, so some of the language is a little bit off of what you're used to. I added some words in brackets to try to help. Minayin shein borin velo tochenin velo markidin. How do you know that you're not allowed to do various kinds of sifting on Yom Tov? And I added in B'Yom Tov. So Rabbi Acha b'shem Reish Lakish says, because the Torah says, kol malacha lo ye'aseh bohem ad ushmartem es hamatzos. He says, the Pasuk says, all malacha shall not be done on those days, on Yom Tov. The part that he skips is only whatever is needed for Ochel Nefesh. That's what you're allowed to do. And then the next pasuk begins, and you shall guard the matzos. That's the pasuk. So what his point is, and that's why I bolded it, is to say, lo ye'aseh, malacha shall not be done until the stage of ushmartem es hamatzos, the stage at which matzah requires guarding, which is when, as far as he's concerned, when you add the water and you start doing lisha. He's not dealing with shmira mishas ketzira, guarding it from the time of the harvest. Rabbi Yossi Boi, Rabbi Yossi asks, wait a minute, klum lamdu letamshil ela mikan. He says, we learned the heter for cooking from this pasuk. Because the part that you skipped is the part where it says, Acha she'yachel ochel nefesh hu levado ye'aseh lachem. Whatever is needed for eating, that you may do, ushmartem es hamatzos. You can't take the pasuk from which we learn that you're allowed to cook and use it as a basis to say, see, you're not allowed to cook until you get to the matzah stage. Rabbi Yossi rejects that. So Rabbi Yossi la merkein. El Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, I have a different pasuk. Well, not a different pasuk, but a different part of the pasuk. The pasuk says, Ach asher ye'achil l'chol nefesh, hu levado ye'aseh lachem ad ushmartem es hamatzos. He draws from the fact that the pasuk, when it says you're allowed to do achol nefesh, it says only this shall be done for you, ushmartem es hamatzos, which is the lisha, the kneading stage. Either way, whichever way you take it, it's only from lisha and onward, and therefore the processing of the flour beforehand, in which you are grinding it and sifting it, and that can't be on Yom Tov. And then Tani Chizkiya Upalig, Chizkiya taught he had a whole different approach. The Torah says, ach, only whatever is needed for eating you may do. And it says, hu levado, only that. Hare ilu miyutin. So these are exclusions. These words, ach, and hu levado, must be coming to exclude something else. What is it excluding? Shelo yiktzor vo yitchon vo leirake to be Yom Tov. Not to do the sifting and grinding on Yom Tov. So the upshot of this Yerushalmi is that whichever pasuk I use as my source, I'm not allowed to do anything that is before Lisha in the baking cycle. And that includes grinding. So that's why I wouldn't be allowed to do it. The Rosh actually says that this is an asmachta. This isn't really a de'oraisa. This is a de'rabanan. And they're just linking it to the pasuk. The Aruch HaShulchan says, I have a very hard time with that idea. In source Beis, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, so he says, Umidivrei HaRosh, Reish Perek Gimel, the Rosh in the beginning of the third parak in Beitza, you'll see why it's in the beginning of the third parak in a little bit, he says, from the Rosh Nira, Dahach Yerushalmi Hava Asmachta Be'alma, the Rosh sounds like, he believes that the Yerushalmi is just doing this as an asmachta. V'teima lomer kein. He says that's really difficult to say. Shari mikodem omer sham habor v'atochin v'mraket b'shabbos niskol u'biyom tov sovig es harboim. He describes getting malkos for doing this on Yom Tov. If it was really a derabanan, there would be no malkos. So therefore, he thinks the Rosh is incorrect. The truth is, the Rosh doesn't say, as I looked at it, doesn't say explicitly that it's an asmachta. He just says that in the Yerushalmi, there were so mecha on the pasuk. I'm not sure that's the same thing. But that's the idea. You're not allowed to do anything that is pre-Lisha. Now, right now, it just sounds like it's Xeris HaKasuv. It's a pasuk. I'm drawing it from a pasuk, and that's all I have. However, the Ramban tries to explain the logic for it in Source Gimel. Ramban writes, Nisma tu tchina v'harkada, grinding and sifting are excluded. Shelo hitira tara b'yom tov ela malachos shel yoman. Because the Torah only permitted on Yom Tov malachos that are normally done that day. Meaning the day that you're going to eat. Kagon, for example, shchita, which pre-refrigeration was obviously the day you were going to eat it, afia, baking, bishul, cooking, aval elu tikun hein. But these malachos, meaning sifting, meaning grinding, these are all preparatory steps. V'derech b'nei adam l'takein mehem l'yamim harbe. These are malachos which you do at one point, and then you have your raw materials, and you're going to have them for a long time afterwards. So Amra Torah, Yitaki Kedarko, Mechol Yom Tov. So the Torah is saying, prepare that the way you're supposed to prepare it. Far in advance, do it during the weekday, and then you'll have it for Yom Tov. Shle Yitaki Mi Yom Tov Liyam Harbe Shalchol. Because if you're going to do it on Yom Tov, you end up preparing for the weekday. And we don't want you to do that. So that's the Rishalmi's approach, as explained by Ramban.
Okay, so according to Beit Hillel, it says for Tavlin that you do it Kedarko.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he's going by the second opinion that Tavlin lose their taste, and therefore you could do it on Yom Tov Kedarko? Like, is that his direction here?
Sorry, say this again?
Beit Hillel, yeah. He says Tavlin, you can do it Kedarko.
Yes.
Does that mean he's going on the second opinion that says that Tavlin lose their taste if you do it beforehand?
Well, that was an explanation of Beit Hillel. We gave two different explanations for what Beit Hillel could be saying.
Okay, so that one would explain how tavlin works. We gave the explanation based on salt, but it actually the second one would be consistent with Tublin, that he says it could be without Shinui.
The Beitzhilah, yes. No, that would be correct.
Do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I mean, the way the Gemara framed it was, we're going to explain why everybody is not okay with salt being done normally.
Right.
But yes. The...
What was salt for your kosher?
What amount of salt for...
That's not preparatory. That's basically...
But you could have prepared the kosher salt a week before.
It could not be, but it is.
You're talking about what you do with the salt, but they're talking about the preparation of the salt. Otherwise, all the things that I do are not preparatory, because I use them in the food that day.
It's not a condiment. It's part of what allows you to eat the.
Doesn't make a difference.
No.
No, doesn't make a difference.
There's no more kashivas.
Apparently not. Now, this is the Ramban's perspective. Well, in any case, it isn't what necessarily allows me to do it, because I could roast the meat. I wouldn't necessarily need the koshering. But the Ran does not like this approach of Ramban and the Yerushalmi within the Bavli, because the Ran has already read the Gemara and Daf Yadalid. And the Gemara on Yadalid Amad Aleph, our Daf, just so you know, the next piece of the Gemara, is going to allow certain kinds of grinding on Yom Tov. And so the Ran says, if you take a look at Source Dalet, Nira Mishitas HaYerushalmi, Shadchina V'Kayotze Behu Asura Min HaTorah. It sounds like, from the Yerushalmi, that grinding and the like are Asur. Mid'oraisa, right? Everybody seems to think it's De'oraisa. Whether the Rush ever thought it wasn't is a question mark. But he says that's not the way our Bavli works. Because we're going to permit grinding peppers and various things to be pounded in their normal way, right? But shchika is a form of grinding. So he's asking what Alan asked before. He's saying, if you really believe that it's a de'oraisa, then doing a shinui isn't going to help you. And we're going to allow even certain things that will be done normally. So how could that be? So the Ran says, we can't agree with that. Ramban says not so fast in Source Hay. Because Ramban actually addresses this question. He says, V'aval pisha matzinu heter b'malachos halalu. Even though we do find some permission to do these malachos, we're going to see that you're allowed to grind up peppers using a pepper grinder. And all the things that are going to be allowed to be pounded normally while pounding it is also a form of grinding it up. Not only that, you're going to see a discussion about being allowed to put things into some kind of a sifter or strainer, which is suspended from before Yom Tov. The strainer was just a piece of material. So they would set it up before Yom Tov, and you were allowed to put it into it and just let it filter through on its own. He says that's going to be permitted. That's Borer. Hanu malachos di yom ninhu. Umikom makom nismata ktsira vatalda. He says, first of all, he says, those are going to be permitted. Those are malachos of that day. They need to be done that day. But we exclude harvesting and its various sub-malachos. You wouldn't be allowed to pluck fruit off of a tree. Because the Torah only permitted it in the process of making food that is in your possession edible. Avalak or davar migidula lo, but not for you to pluck something from where it's growing. That's not considered food that's already in your rishus. So, in other words, what Ramban will say, which would address the concern of the Ran, a little bit of anachronism here. You have to realize that. Meaning, Ran can quote Ramban, not vice versa. Mm-hmm. But Ramban is saying that we are lenient to allow this to be done with a shinui. It's true. Under the general overhead of ochel nefesh from malacha, you couldn't have done the day before, so long as it is this food that's in your possession, as opposed to that which is still growing. So our first answer for why tochin is not permitted under ochel nefesh is that it's a de'oraisa from the pasuk, or various pasukim brought in the Yerushalmi, And as far as the fact that we're willing to permit with a shinui, yes, it's true. That's excluded from this iser. If it's needed that day, it can be done with the shinui. Somehow or other, it's fitting into ochel nefesh, although frankly, it's not clear how. That's approach number one. Approach number two, and I broke these out on the sheet. If you look at the headings, you'll see. So hopefully that will help with remembering. The first one was iser tchina b'yomtov de'oraisa min gzeras hakasav. It's psukim. The second approach is also it's a de'oraisa, but it's a different kind of de'oraisa. It's de'oraisa because you could have done it before Yom Tov, and therefore ochel nefesh doesn't work as a heter. The whole heter of ochel nefesh is that which could not have been done in advance. And the basis.
And that would give you malchus if you were warned before that?
Apparently.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Really? Well.
The basis for this is the Gemara at the beginning of the third perek. I mentioned that the rush on this is the beginning of the third perek because of this piece. If you jump ahead to the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, we'll need to see the Gemara and the Rashi there. That's a Mishnah, really. Bottom of 23b. Okay? Mishnah says, you're not allowed to trap fish from traps on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to put food in front of them. This is fish because they're not relying on you for food. They can eat whatever's in the water. That already is enough for us to see here. The statement that you're not allowed to trap the fish on Yom Tov. So Rashi asks the question, what happened to Ochel Nefesh? So Rashi, right? I mean, the parallel regarding animals is Shechita. That you're allowed to do. Well, the parallel isn't really Shechita. The truth is, parallel for fish to Shechita would be taking it out of the water. Right? The parallel of trapping is trapping. So, Rashi says, Avagav de Shechita va'afia u'bishul me'avos malachos hein v'hudru l'tzarech yom tov. Even though shechting, baking, cooking, these are avos malacha, and yet we permit them for the sake of yom tov. The reason is, the reason those are permitted is because you couldn't do them before Yom Tov. When it comes to Shechita, well, where the meat's going to go bad if you shecht it in advance. Avot Seida, but trapping the fish. You could trap it before Yom Tov. Watch what he says. Leave it in the trap in the water. You take your trap, your net, whatever it is, you lower it into the water, so the fish has water, it's alive, it's just snared. And the next day you take it out.
Is the same analogy true for trapping animals?
In terms of
Yom Tov, sorry?
That it will be usher?
To trap it for the same reason because you could have trapped it before. Right?
Yeah, that, and that's the rest of the discussion. The next line in the Mishnah would have been Avot Sadim Chayva Opos Min Abivarim Nosnaf Nim Bizonos. You're allowed to do it for the animals from certain traps because the traps are small. They're considered already trapped. In other words, it depends on the size of the enclosure, the contours of the enclosure, and so what kind of animal it is. But the point is that some creatures are already trapped beforehand. So Rashi tells you that Ochel Nefesh will not permit malachos you could have done before Yom Tov. Now, if you ask me, that sounds like a gezeira derabanan.
Right.
It sounds like Ochel Nefesh really permitted everything. However, if you could have done it before Yom Tov, we're going to make a derabanan that will keep you from doing it on Yom Tov itself, because we don't like it when you push things off to Yom Tov. However, the Pnei Yeshua says that's not what Rashi is saying. Pnei Yeshua is source Vav. He says, I think, Rashi believes it's the Oraisa. He says, Ayin Mashakasav Mori Zekeni Zal Bazeh B'Sefer Magine Shlomo. He says, see what my grandfather wrote in the Sefer Magine Shlomo. De'igar Kavanas Rashi Bazeh La'in Isira Derabanan. My grandfather said that it's that Rashi believes it's a Derabanan. Because of Gamkin L'Dakteh B'Lashon HaRash Zal Bazeh, and he thought the Rush said that too, that it's a Derabanan. Amnam. Lefianias daiti haya niralich or ledaktik miloshon Rashi zal den mide oraisa iri. But in my humble opinion, with due respect to my grandfather, I think Rashi is saying it's the oraisa. How do I get that? V'hainu, l'fi ma shematzasi, the Rashi zal mefarish b'shabes sof perakah oreg, that's Shabbos kufah from the base, b'tayim l'de'enos l'fneim b'zonos, d'hainu mishum d'muktzin ninu. Okay, this is going to require that you think a little bit. Rashi in Shabbos talks about why we don't feed animals on Shabbos. And he says the reason we don't feed them is because they're muktzah. That's what he says. Baal chai, living things generally speaking, are muktzah. The im came. So he says, if it were true that Rashi believed that the whole thing is a derabanan in our discussion, if Rashi in our discussion thinks trapping is a derabanan, then he wouldn't have needed to make the argument here that the reason why you're not allowed to trap them on Yom Tov is because you could have trapped them yesterday. The answer would be, why can't I trap them on Yom Tov? Because I can't eat them anyway. Because they're muktzah. Right? Muktzah, remember, we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, we'll have applications on Yom Tov. So, why do you need to tell me about inability to trap before? And he says, El al karachach, you have to say, the Rashi zal sover, the behemes yesh pitseida iser de'oraisa. That Rashi believes there is a biblical prohibition against trapping these things on Yom Tov. When he said you could have done it the day before, that's a de'oraisa, not a de'rabanan. Umishum hachi pirish tama yoser chamor, and therefore he brought the more serious reason. He brought you the de'oraisa, not the de'rabanan. Kein nira l'chora. He says, so it appears. That's the Pnei Yoshua's position.
He was named after his grandfather, right?
The Pnei Yoshua?
Yeah.
I don't know. What was his grandfather's name? I don't remember.
Same name, but a different last name.
He's Falk, I think, no?
He's no. Falk, but the other guy...
Falk is no, Falk is the Prisha. Not the... Maybe not. Maybe he's also Falk.
I think Falk.
Okay.
But he had a grandfather, and the interesting thing is the grandfather's wife was the daughter of the Maharal in Prague, and she wrote a sefer, the big machloikas with some guy, a contemporary at that time.
Interesting. This I did not know.
That,
okay.
She wrote a sefer.
Yeah, she wrote a sefer.
On?
Yeah.
On what?
It was a halacha. It was a halacha lemaisa.
Okay.
And he had a machloikas with her, but she was.
You'll have to furnish more details.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. So too.
Okay. The Ran objects to the approach of Rashi. This idea that the distinction is a distinction based on what you could have done before Yom Tov. He says, you can't argue this point as a de'oraisa, and you can't argue this point as a de'rabanan. Neither way are you going to win. He says, in Sor Zayin, v'im sabur harav zal, Rav here is Rashi, v'im sabur harav zal, she'atzeda b'yom tov asura mi de'oraisa me'hai taima, lo mechuver. He says, if he believes that it's actually a biblical prohibition because you could have done it before, that's not at all clear. He says, the Gemara Daf Chav Chesam Beis is going to talk about whether you're allowed to do machshirei ochal nefesh, backup steps to provide food, if you could have done them beforehand. But you know they don't make such a distinction regarding Ochal Nefesh itself. I'll prove it to you. We had this discussion back on Daf Yud Aleph. We said, I'm allowed to bring a knife to a butcher on Yom Tov. Right? Remember we had the whole discussion of what you're allowed to carry, and is there any concern for Hotzah on Yom Tov, and is it Tzarech Mitzvah, whatever. So he says, you're allowed to bring the shechita knife to the butcher on Yom Tov, whereas v'ilu b'Shabbos l'inyan mila, if you wanted to bring a mila knife on Shabbos, we would say, aser b'nei shev sholaso sameir of Shabbos. That's aser, because you could have done it before Shabbos. If you remember the Gemara in Shabbos, Rabbi Lazar de mila, right? Rabbi Lazar says you can do all the backup steps you want to be able to do bris mila on Shabbos, right? You can make the knife. Whereas the other approach is, no, if it's a backup step that could have been done before Shabbos, you do not have license to do it on Shabbos. And when they're categorizing what is a backup step versus what is something that could have been, that had to be done that day, Well, they're all backup steps. But when they distinguish between backup steps which could have been done in advance and backup steps which needed to be that day, they take bringing the knife and put it in the category of things that could have been done the day before. Well, presumably, if for Bris Milah, it could have been done the day before. For Shchita, it could have been done the day before. And if it could have been done the day before, and yet we said on Daf Yud Aleph, if you're allowed to bring it to the butcher on Yom Tov, that shows that we don't make any distinction. Now, I would argue that maybe you didn't know you were going to shech the day before. Right. Mila, you knew.
Right.
But this puts up, which is one of the malacha that is for Ochel Nefesh that we say we can apply to everything.
Right. Yeah.
So his question would be a question.
No, because he's within the discussion about whether Ochel Nefesh will work for things that you could have done the day before.
But he's compared. With the sakin, the issue may not be because whether you could do it the day before or not. It's because it's one of those malachas that even if, since you could do it no matter what, day before is irrelevant.
Right, but he's viewing this as a din in ochal nafesh. In other words, it's going to apply to all the malachas. We're not going to have a flat permission for any of the malachas to do that, which we could. He's understanding Rashi to say that any of the malachas, bishul, it doesn't matter. If you could have done it the day before,
you can't do it
on Yom Tov. That's why he's understanding Rashi. And the same thing is true in Pesachim regarding bringing the knife to shech the korban Pesach. And he says, I'll bring you another proof from the Gemara that we just talked about the salt and the saffron. He says, the Gemara in Yudalit is going to say that you're allowed to pound salt and saffron in a normal way as long as you do a little shinui. You have to incline the mortar a little bit on its side. That's hatzla'a, is the inclination of it. So a little bit of a shinui. He says that's a full blown malacha, doing this pounding of the materials. Ukinegdev Shabbos chayavan le askila. If you tried that on Shabbos, that would be skila. Vihitiros beYom Tov apal pishech shalaso semivayera. But they allow it on Yom Tov. You could have done it the day before. This is salt and saffron. You could do those the day before. Vafilu midivrayim lo asru ela shetzvichu bashinui muat. Even midrabanan, they said you're fine as long as you do it with a little bit of a shinui. So he says it can't be that this is a deoraisa. If this was a deoraisa, shinui wouldn't work. If this was a deoraisa, then you wouldn't be able to bring the shchita knife to the butcher. He said we don't have any such distinction at all. Could have done it the day before. Couldn't have done it the day before. No, he says it's not a deoraisa, and not only that, it's not derabanan either. He says, "V'mniskame lomar shebishvil kach asur midivrayim." And if he's going to say that it's a derabanan, eino maspik, that will be insufficient. Why? She'im kain. If that were true, im also mitzudaso me'erev yom tov reikanis ye muter litzod b'yom tov. So let's say he tried to do it before Yom Tov, but he didn't succeed.
Right.
You know, he pulls up the net an hour before Shabbos, half an hour before Shabbos, and it's empty. But he made the attempt that wasn't Asher Lasso, so my Erev Yom Tov. Or, V'ocha, Dagim, Kevin Shnitzodu, Alpha Pisha'om, Did B'mayev, and Mitsuda, Nifsadin Him Yosem, Itablan, Hanishchakim, Erev Yom Tov, Shetiru Loduchan, Kedargim, B'Yom Tov. He says, I have news for you. Fish in this very small trap, it has to be small enough that you can just reach in and take it out. He says, if you leave fish in that amount of water, from Erev Yom Tov into Yom Tov, it's going to deteriorate worse than the spices that you ground up on Erev Yom Tov. Which, when you think about it, makes a lot of sense. Fish are drawing oxygen out of the water. There's a limit to how much they can get out of that small pool of water that they're going to be in. I imagine there are ways to design the traps so that there's water filtering through. But be that as it may, his argument is that your fish would deteriorate worse, and therefore we should argue that, again, you couldn't have trapped it on Erev Yom Tov. That's his argument. So the Ran rejects this whole approach. He does not like this answer that it's a deoraisa distinction between what you could have done on Erev Yom Tov and what you couldn't have.
Well, what if the two ideas are combined? Where you have a combination of muksa and the before Yom Tov. And so for the hunting, for the fish, what he's saying, he's not saying it necessarily has to be a small thing. It could be, as long as you did the hunting beforehand.
Well, no, it does have to be a small thing. It does have to be a small thing. If it's not a small thing, then it's considered trapping when you take it out.
If you've already trapped it, Rishi may not be saying that you can't do any trapping.
Oh, he is. So the Ran has trouble with it, but the second approach is you could have done it before Yom Tov, therefore it's a Deoraisa. The third and last approach is the approach of the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch is going to follow this view as well. And the Rambam says it's a Gzera Derabanan. Ochel Nefesh really does not distinguish between what you could have done yesterday and what you had to do today. Ochel Nefesh will permit it all. But we are worried about the person who's going to turn this Yom Tov into a marathon cooking day. And so therefore, we say, if you could have done it before, you don't leave it for Yom Tov itself. And he writes in Source Ches, this is from two separate halachos in Halachos Yom Tov, Paragala. Kol malacha she'efshar lo le'asas me'erev Yom Tov. If you could have done it before Yom Tov, v'lo yiyeh b'hefsed, and there won't be any loss in doing so, v'lo chisaron im na'asas me'erev, if it were done from the afternoon before, asur chachamim la'asos osa b'yom tov, av alpi shila tzarech achila. The chachamim said, do not do this on Yom Tov, even though it is for the sake of eating. V'lama asru davar zeh, why did they prohibit it? Gezera shema yaniach adam malacha she'ef shal asos im erev Yom Tov l'Yom Tov, because the concern is you're going to leave stuff from erev Yom Tov into Yom Tov. V'nimtze Yom Tov kulo holech basias osan malachos, so you're going to spend all of Yom Tov doing these malachos. V'yimna misimchas Yom Tov, you won't have simchas Yom Tov. V'lo yiel opnei lecho v'lishtos, you're not going to have time to eat and drink. Right? So the people sitting around this table, I don't know if you're the cooks in your households, but whoever is the cook in your household who ends up cooking Yom Tov meals that day, how much time do they actually spend at the Yom Tov table? He says that's just wrong. It should have been done before. And then in Halacha Ches, he continues, specifically on the point of Techina, of grinding.
But that's bizarre, though, because at the end of the day, if we give him a Knas that he can't do it on Yom Tov, so for sure you won't have Simchas Yom Tov.
Assuming that he's not going to do it before, yes. But he continues to talk about our halacha of a lashin ve'ofin v'shochtin and mevashlin b'yom tov. You're allowed to knead, you're allowed to bake, you're allowed to shech, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Shim asa elu mi ba'erev yesh b'kach hefsed ochisar on tam, because if you did it before, it wouldn't taste as good. Shein lechem cham o tamshel shabishel hayom ke lechem shenefa me'emesh uke tamshel shenizbashel me'emesh. The Rambam, the Epicure, is weighing in. He says, come on, today's bread is different from yesterday's bread. Today's food that was cooked is different from yesterday's. V'lo basar shenishchad hayom ke basar shenishchad me'emesh, ditto for the meat that was shechted, v'chein kol kayotze ba'ilu, and all similar things. V'chein machshirei ochel nefesh sheyesh ben chisaron, and so too for any of the backup steps in producing food, if there would be some loss in nasumi ba'erev, then osin osin b'yom tov, then you could do it on Yom Tov itself. Kigon, for example, shchikas tavlin okayotze bazeh, such as the grinding of the smashing of the spices.
Or opening a bottle of something, or opening a can of something.
He hasn't said that. That's a question of whether boneh will be under this het there in general. Assuming you hold that it's a boneh problem.
Right.
Is boneh going to be in the malachos that are permitted, or we look at boneh as a non-ochel thing?
Well, people don't allow it, right? I mean,
that's correct. The Ravid on this Rambam asks, why is tolesh prohibited? And this will actually sort of address the boneh piece also. But the Ravid asks, then why is tolesh prohibited? Why can't I pluck the thing that's in the ground? And the Aruch HaShulchan answers that for this we go back to Ramban's point. That's a malacha that's normally done far in advance, and therefore you can't do it that day, which of course raises the question, well, what if it's a fruit that will go bad? The fruit won't necessarily last.
Eating corn on the day right after the thing is much different than eating corn even an hour later.
So there you go.
I mean, a beverage, be open the day before, it's not going to
taste
the same.
About corn.
Corn wouldn't have been a discussion for them.
Right, but I'm just saying, or there's a fruit like that.
Yeah.
Right?
And so some point this out.
That, right? The whole knife business, like the, he brings the knife to the shochet.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the shochet have the knife? It seems a bit bizarre. Doesn't the shochet be the one who has the knife anyways?
Yeah, maybe it's nifgam, I don't know.
Maybe it was so expensive knives. That
yeah, but if you're a shochet, you have a knife.
Yeah, that's the one thing they have to have is a knife.
But the tools of the trade.
I don't know.
So if you take the knife to the rabbi to check it out, right, then bring it back to the chest to make sure that if there's no nixon or something like that, then presumably it would be okay to bring on yotze.
Well, that's what we say. We say you are allowed to be still on your aleph. So in practice, the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam on this. And says that the issue is lest you delay the malacha for Yom Tov, which is why the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa says that if you have spices that would weaken if you did them before Yom Tov, you're allowed to do them on Yom Tov. When you see it, the case where this always comes up is the issue of horseradish for those who have horseradish, you know, as their maror at the Seder. So the license for the second night,
right,
you know, to grind it up, as opposed to eating what you ground up on Erev Pesach, because it's a different class altogether.
I had thought that it was permitted to do teichen for spices on Yom Tov, that you could do that for any spices.
So it's anything that would deteriorate, and I think our spices, generally speaking, do if you leave them.
Like
I mean,
pepper, like a grill. Like a pepper mill or something
pepper
like that.
So again, that's what the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa is saying.
Uh-huh. I mean, okay. Based on this, okay, with the actual removal,
yeah.
You know, we have mint leaves and everything else.
Yeah.
All right, we've never plucked them on Yantav.
Good.
Are you allowed
to? No, he said explicitly, you're not allowed to.
Well, what if
but
they
taste different.
They can't.
Well, that's what I. So that was what. No, but that was what Ramban said. Ramban's answer was, I understand, but the heter is only for food that's in your possession, and he didn't consider whatever is anchored in the ground to be. Yeah, that was where he blocked it. All right, we'll pick up with that. I guess. Got to leave next.